We're in a new month, the final month of the year, and then we'll be racing into a new one. This month, our theme is actually around baptism of the Holy Spirit. And baptism of the Holy Spirit is really quite a key thing for Assemblies of God churches, which we are. You may not be aware of it. Hastings Church is an Assemblies of God church. The Assemblies of God is one of the largest Protestant denominations or collections of churches in the world, and was birthed out of the Azusa Street Revival. It was part of the kind of first wave of Pentecostalism. There have been a couple since then, but the Assemblies of God was there right at the beginning. It's actually viewed as, I think at least in America, the youngest, has the youngest people in it, in the Assemblies of God in terms of denomination. They have a high percentage of young people in Assemblies of God churches. I'm 52, so I don't know what that says young is. One of the things that happened in the early Assemblies of God is they created these 16, well not created, but they established what they called 16 truths, gospel truths, and these are the things that they adhered to, and they have continued today. So one of the things that we're focusing on is baptism of the Holy Spirit this month, and partly because as an Assemblies of God church, it's one of the things we believe in. So I want to actually read to you what the statement of faith is for the Assemblies of God for baptism of the Holy Spirit. We believe that all believers are entitled to, should eagerly expect, and seek the promise of the Father, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, according to the command of Christ. This was the normal experience of all in the early church. This experience is distinct from and subsequent to the experience of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit received at the new birth. That sentence I've just read out to you is a distinctive and different, distinctive and specific theology for Pentecostalism. That is that this experience is distinct from and subsequent to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit at our salvation. So yes, we get saved and we have the Holy Spirit living inside us, but there is an experience, a different and distinct and subsequent experience, so after salvation, not at the point of salvation. We, as Assemblies of God churches, give continuing emphasis to the New Testament pattern by teaching and encouraging believers to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's the statement of faith for our church and for the Assemblies of God. So, I want to talk a little bit about that today, but the title of my message, and I think this is really important, we'll see shortly, is about seeking Holy Spirit baptism. Are we seeking to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, and if so, why? And if we aren't, should we? Seeking Holy Spirit baptism. Before we proceed, I'm just going to pray. It's important that we hear from the Lord on this. Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you for Jesus. I thank you that he is the word of God. And Lord, we thank you for that great outpouring of your sacrificial love through Jesus Christ. This morning, I pray that the name of Jesus will be glorified and lifted up, that Jesus himself be given all honor and all glory. Lord, that we would be reminded afresh that he is our King and the Lamb that was slain. And Lord, we ask that you would give us ears to hear, that our hearts might obey in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I know a lot of you, especially some that I've talked to, have questions about the Holy Spirit and how he works. and have some of you have some ideas about how he works and what you think he does and how he interacts with you personally, and that's great. Awesome. But I think it's important for me as a pastor of this church to really look to Scripture and be guided by Scripture and be guided by what God says in his word. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1. We're going to read that. Pursue love and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God, for no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the spirit. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. Kind of a cool scripture. Easy peasy, right? You got it? Okay, we'll go home. A couple of things I'd like to point out to you, and I think are really important when we're seeking a baptism in the Holy Spirit. Firstly, it's not for ourselves. All right? If you're seeking baptism in the Holy Spirit, we aren't to seek it for ourselves. We're not seeking it so that we might become a better person. That's not why we're seeking baptism in the Holy Spirit. That's not why we want it. We're not seeking it either so that we can be called Pentecostals and be part of a Pentecostal church. That's also not why we seek baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's also not why I would encourage you to seek it. Do you know what? You can come to this church and not be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Doesn't worry me. You're all very quiet. I'll just take that as you agree with everything I say. Excellent. It's not for ourselves. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is not primarily for ourselves, but like any spiritual gift, is intended for the benefit of others. That's what the baptism in the Holy Spirit is for, the benefit of others. First and foremost, the role of the Holy Spirit is illuminating, highlighting, and glorifying Jesus Christ himself. There's the Holy Spirit's job. There's his purpose, is to ensure that all of creation knows and is pointed to and directed to Jesus Christ and his work and his saving work on the cross. His demonstration, his exemplar life, his being of the very nature of God himself. There is what the Holy Spirit is always seeking to lift up. Jesus embodies the sacrificial love of God for us. Jesus also embodies God himself, the very nature of God, love. Baptism, as I've understood it and as I've experienced it, in the Holy Spirit is profoundly transformational. It's a transformational experience for all believers. Everyone who encounters and experiences baptism in the Holy Spirit is empowered and transformed. It is a distinct empowering of believers to amplify our glorification of Christ. There is what happens when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. What happens is our lives, our actions, our obedience to God glorifies Christ. Amen? Amen? Amen. That's right. Amen. That happens because the Holy Spirit is working and acting through and out of us in the same power that resurrected Christ from the dead, that healed the sick and demonstrated God's awesome power and sovereignty in the earth. So, seek baptism in the Holy Spirit. Don't seek it for yourself, but seek it that you might glorify Christ. There is at its heart, again, the selfless nature of us giving our lives to Christ and being obedient to him. I have seen many a time people expressing this experience in signs and wonders and gifts and speaking in tongues and all of those things. And I am reminded again that without love, what is any of that? Because what is love but the very nature of God? If the baptism in the Holy Spirit does not bring forth out of your life love, I struggle to see that that is the Holy Spirit. So what about speaking in tongues? We don't need to talk about that because everyone's got a handle on that, right?
Yep.
We believe, and this again is taken from the statement of faith for the Assemblies of God in New Zealand, we believe that the baptism of believers in the Holy Spirit is shown by the initial physical sign of speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God enables them to do so. That's what is in our statement of faith. So what is it? Why is it in our statement of faith? What is speaking in tongues? Well, first of all, what happened with me is speaking, I would define it as speaking directly to God as the Holy Spirit enables. So it's a communication with God enabled by the Holy Spirit. If we read a bit further where Paul is talking about, actually I've just lost this, no anyway, it's a scripture in the Bible. There's the scripture in the Bible, and if you want to look for it, it's probably going to be in 1 Corinthians somewhere. So I'll read it out and then you tell me where it is. I know it's verse 2, but I can't remember which chapter it's in, all right? For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men, but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters mysteries in the Spirit. Okay, prize. Chapter 14, see? Perfect. Bet you you're already there. So that's what I view as a definition of tongues for me. There are other languages that we can speak in and other people can understand them, but we can't. But there is a tongue that is, I believe, between us and God. Between our spirit and God. I believe it's enabled by the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit is the one who takes the unspoken things deep within our hearts, as deep calling unto deep, and then brings them out of us. The things we don't know we need. We know we need, but we don't know what it is, and we're like, ah. How many of you have ever been in so much grief and pain that you could not express it in words? Yeah. It came from somewhere so deep that words didn't seem to give it enough meaning apart from just something crying out from the depth of our spirit. But see, in that, we have a God who knows us so intimately and so well that he knows what we need, he knows what we're crying out for before we ourselves are fully aware of it. He knows the deepest cries of our heart, the deepest pain, the deepest anguish, the deepest passions of our soul. So why would we call speaking in tongues the initial or first evidence of being baptized in the Holy Spirit? Why not something else more amazing, like, you know, lightning flashing out of the sky, like levitating, you know, something cool that people go, yeah, no, you know, that must be real. Why don't we look for that kind of thing? You know, like that we, you know, pray and somebody's arms and legs grow back. Do you know that stuff happens? But why are those not all the signs for us being filled and baptized in the Holy Spirit? Well, it's what I said earlier, that the Holy Spirit's goal, first and foremost, is what? To glorify Jesus. Not us. Communing with God first, however, according to the Spirit within us ensures that whatever expression follows is rooted in our relationship with God. There's not much point in us having signs and wonders following if they're not following Jesus. If they're not following the Word of God, if they're just kind of like, oh, I've got this new kind of toy and I can do some pretty cool things with it and impress everybody. And if I go to a Pentecostal church, all I have to do is babble. Then they'll be impressed. It's not what it's about. Communing with God first, according to the Spirit within us, ensures that whatever expression follows is rooted in our relationship with God. If the Holy Spirit is the motivator for that communication, and that communication is so accurate, it is not subject to the manipulation of our own insecurity, our own fears, our own sinful nature. If the Holy Spirit is able to capture that motivation within our hearts to commune intimately with God, then we know and we can be assured that Jesus Christ is central to that communion. Right? Does that make sense? You all good? Okay. Let me say that again. If the Holy Spirit is the motivator for that communication, if the Holy Spirit is the one that is indwelling us and then is prompting these tongues to come out, this language that communicates with God, if He is the one motivating it, then Jesus Christ is central, is primary, is at the heart of that communion with God. But we know, right, it doesn't just stop with communication, okay? It's not just about talking to God. It's not just about hearing God. It's not about those things. We know from Scripture that those who hear and what? Obey. Are those who love God. The ones that do what God has told us to do. The ones that act on the direction of God. The ones that act on the direction of the Holy Spirit to say, hear, go, do. Those are people who love God. You can read about that in Luke chapter 8, verse 21, or Luke 11, verse 28. But I want to caution you something about this baptism in the Holy Spirit, or the speaking in tongues, or anything of the sort. The Holy Spirit cannot and will never speak counter to the Word of God. Never. He just won't. If what you hear from the Holy Spirit, little Holy Spirit, is counter to what God has already said in His Word, then it is not the Holy Spirit speaking. Now, we have a congregation of believers here, some who are still on that journey, right? But we as the church are asked to discern what happens in church. Now, discernment's an interesting word. People think of it as like, oh, you've got to discern, you know, right from wrong, good from evil. You know, that stuff's pretty easy. It's discerning the right from almost right, is where discernment's required. Which is why I'm so grateful we have the Word of God to help us to understand what it is that we experience and see around us and interpret it, because we cannot trust our own feelings. How many of you have fallen in love? No one. Oh, I know, a couple of people. A couple of women. How many of you have fallen in love? How many of you have actually found you've fallen out of love? Yeah, I've fallen out of love before. I've professed that I thought this person was the most amazing person in the world. I couldn't find anybody else. And then I kind of changed how I felt about that. I must have been the only one that's ever done that. Sorry for all of you. But we can't trust our own interpretation of things sometimes, can we? Oh, I've got a bad feeling about that person. Now, when it comes to the safety of your children, I would rather err on the side of caution and say, I've got a bad feeling about that. Okay, fine. Keep my children safe. All right? But I hear it so often in church, and it really grieves me. Oh, I just get this bad thing in my spirit about that person. And I go, really? I guarantee you that's not Jesus. Oh, I just feel a check in my spirit. I've got to call. That so easily does not come from God. Because we are way too quick to judge people ourselves with our own standards. Now, I'm not saying that we should be reckless and cavalier in our interactions with people, nor should we say, hey, you went to jail for 7 years for interfering with kids. Why don't you work in the Sunday school? That is just drop-dead stupid. But what I am saying is when we approach situations like that, you know, listen to yourself sometimes when you're saying, you know, I have a check in my spirit. I think there's something wrong with that person. And tell me why God isn't telling other people that about you. If that's what you're feeling about something, how is God not doing that louder and longer about you? Do you know why? Because he's not doing that. There's a real difference in hearing from the Holy Spirit. I did an exercise one time when I was training to be a minister, and one of the things we had to do was we had to write down sort of what we thought were barriers to us fulfilling the call of God in our life. And we got this piece of paper and a pen, and I watched as everybody in that particular class wrote like line upon line of stuff that was in the way of us achieving what God had called us to do. And we weren't allowed to write on the second page, so a lot of it got jammed in on this first page, was up the margins and all the way around. And then we got asked to turn the page over and then write what God said. Every person in that room wept because God said nothing about all of that stuff we thought was in the way. As we listened, the Holy Spirit spoke to our hearts about how much he loved us, about how loved and precious we were, how for us he was. We're going to speak in tongues. We want to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Make sure it's the Holy Spirit. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 11. And we're going to read from verse 11 to verse 19. And again, if we are seeking baptism in the Holy Spirit, why are we seeking it? For the benefit of others. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, reading from verse 11. So it is with you, since you are eager for gifts of the Spirit, try to excel in those that build up the church. What does that sound like? That sounds like love one another, right? For this reason, the one who speaks in a tongue should pray that they may interpret what they say. So if I'm in church and I speak aloud in another tongue between me and God, and I'm doing that loudly and in front of you, and you're listening to me and going, what is he talking about? Seriously, I should be going, God, please give me an interpretation real quick, because otherwise these people are going to think I'm a lunatic. More than they already do. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, right? My spirit prays if I'm praying in tongues, but my mind is unfruitful. So what shall I do? This is Paul. I will pray with my spirit, but I will also pray with my understanding.
I will sing with my spirit, but I will also sing with my understanding. Otherwise, when you are praising God in the spirit, how can someone else who is now put in the position of an inquirer or someone asking questions say amen to that? To your thanksgiving, since they do not know what you're saying. You are giving thanks well enough, but no one else is edified. It's acknowledging you are thanking God from your spirit, but nobody else is edified by that. We are in church. We are together. Should we not be edifying one another? I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. That's Paul. Paul says that. I thank God that I am speaking tongues more than all of you. But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct others than 10,000 words in a tongue. Oh. I think I used up my 10,000 in the first 20 years that I was in church. Everybody was speaking in tongues, often trying to sound better than the next person speaking in tongues. Paul spoke in tongues more than anyone, yet speaking in tongues was not a badge of honor for him, but rather a prerequisite for instructing in the truth of Jesus Christ. What is prophecy but the truth from God's perspective? That's what prophecy is. It's just the truth. It's not divination and seeking some sort of secret source that we get that we can kind of lord over other people. That's not what prophecy is. Prophecy is, again, just acknowledging the truth of Christ. He challenges us not to seek Holy Spirit baptism for its own sake, so that we might speak in tongues, but so that we might be empowered to obey the will of God. And then express his will in supernatural and heavenly ways according to his will, not our own. I speak in tongues. I do. As I earnestly desire God's will, not just for myself, but for you, for this congregation, whom I love. When I am asked to pray for something or someone, I often, actually any time I experience and encounter any situation when I feel wholly inadequate, that's usually when I'm speaking in tongues. Someone comes up to me out of the blue and says, hey, can you pray for me? I've got 2 days to live. Guaranteed I'm speaking in tongues pretty fast right there. Why? Because I don't walk around with this gunslinger attitude that I'm full of the Holy Ghost and I'm just going to point my fingers at stuff and it's going to get done. I am petrified that I don't know enough. And I need Jesus. I need his will. I need God's will so I know how to handle any situation. You know, there's situations we encounter in the hub on a daily basis. There are potential disasters waiting to happen. There are scenarios that are unfolding in front of us, and we think we are not equipped to handle this. And then I remember someone who is, and so quietly I'm speaking in tongues. Oh, God, I don't even know what to ask for. I just know I need you right now because this situation is way beyond me. Way beyond me. When I'm asked to pray for something, or for someone, I often begin in tongues. Now, you might hear it while I'm praying, or I might pray quiet enough that you can't hear me speaking in tongues. Am I doing it? Absolutely. You see, the evidence of me being baptized in the Holy Spirit, the evidence is that the first response from my spirit is to commune with God directly in a language he may understand better than I do. And there are so many situations I feel wholly inadequate. I trust that as the Holy Spirit works with the ignorant groans of my spirit, revelation and truth begin to work in me and my mind gets awakened and renewed, and the Holy Spirit helps me make sense of a situation I could not understand, enabling me to hear and obey God's will. So, do I believe all Christians should seek baptism in the Holy Spirit? Absolutely. Absolutely. It's something distinct. It's something fresh and transformational for a Christian. I think you should seek it with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Not so you can show me and prove to me that you're filled with the Holy Spirit, but that so you can know that the Holy Spirit is helping your communication with God, that you're glorifying Jesus Christ like the Holy Spirit does. There's why. I don't need you to prove to me that you can speak in tongues. I don't care. What I care about is that you're obeying God and doing what he wants. It's probably unfair to say I don't care. I do care. I want everyone to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. But honestly, I don't have a book with a bunch of boxes and tick marks next to it for the people in church who are baptized and who aren't. I don't do that. I'm looking with fear and trepidation upon my own walk with Jesus. So yes, I believe all Christians should seek baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, so that out of that pure wellspring, the one that relies on the word of God, the one that glorifies Jesus, out of that wellspring would flow living words from our mouth. That those words would bring life to other people, that they would edify the church and edify all of those around us, that out of that pure wellspring that loves like Jesus loves, we might see that as evidence of God working in our lives. That we ourselves might edify and bless the body of Christ. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Father, I thank you for your word this morning. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you are here. Lord, that you are at work amongst us. I pray that Jesus would continue to be lifted up in this place and glorified, and that as we gather and eat together, Lord, may our fellowship ring with the joy and the love of God. I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. So we're just going to move some of these chairs, put some tables out, we'll have a seat, we'll get ready, say grace, and then chow down. Sound good?